we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Hello, and welcome to America Out Loud Pulse. I'm your host, Nurse Jody O'Malley, coming to you from Arizona. I love getting information from all of you, so please keep sending your emails to Jody, J-O-D-I, at AmericaOutloud.com. Today I have with me veteran nurse Michelle of 34 years and new nurse Cammy, and we're going to be doing a nurse news analysis discussing Florida Surgeon General Joseph Lapido and his state recommendation on the vaccines, the impact of mandates on nursing students around the country, focusing on the sudden death of nursing student Reagan Lewis, contrasting that tragic story with recent successful lawsuit of two nursing students in Arizona against their nursing school vaccine mandates. We're also going to discuss college mandates and what you can do to give us information to expose the colleges in your cities and states. We're going to discuss the importance of early treatment and learning how to prophylactically protect yourself from upper respiratory infections during this upcoming flu season. And last but not least, if we have time, we hope to address some current events going on in our country regarding the pathological hypersexualization of American children and the impact of woke businesses on our society. So let's get started. Twitter blocks and then restores COVID-19 vaccination posts from Florida Surgeon General. Joe Lapido has been an outspoken skeptic of COVID vaccines, the mandates to wear masks. He's been outspoken on mandates for businesses and for people in general. And he has previously came out and said that young people should not take the mRNA vaccine. Welcome, ladies. What do y'all think about that?
Very interesting that they have such a bold Surgeon General that's out there apparently looking at the science that we all seem to be seeing too.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great that, like you said, he's very outspoken about it. He's standing up to the media. There's not many, certain generals. There's not many anybody, honestly, sticking up for people that feel like they don't have a voice. I feel like there's a lot of people that are afraid, and there's not enough people sticking up. So it's good to see that somebody out of Florida is actually doing something about it.
Yeah, that's right. Florida seems to be ahead of everybody else for the last 2 years. And it's a good thing that DeSantis picked a good attorney general to get advice from.
Indeed. I've seen some criticism of him, and they're claiming that he's using non-peer-reviewed data to back his suggestions. And I would challenge any of those that are out there criticizing the Surgeon General because of what they consider non-peer-reviewed data to show us all the peer-reviewed data that has shown us that this new booster shot has gone through safety standards outside of rat studies.
I don't think they've done that, have they?
Oh, right. They didn't do that.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
Yeah, so that's frustrating to always watch that the media is never out there saying to us how wonderful this sounds, that somebody's protecting the American people, giving guidelines that maybe there's some science out there saying that there could be harms from this vaccine. And to pretend like there are zero harms would basically be a confession on the part of the media to say there's no reason for the existence of a vaccine injury program that the federal government also established with this particular product. So why do we need a vaccine injury program if there's not potentially vaccine injuries? And this Surgeon General is drawing to our attention there are injuries going on, and we want to reduce those risks associated to the vaccine and instead look at this age group and see that there really aren't high risks for this disease anyways. So it looks like he's looking at all the data and giving good counsel. People still have the right to go and get it if they want to.
Right, right. Yeah, if you, just the same. If you want to wear a mask, keep wearing your mask. You know, you don't want to, don't do it. Reagan, her mother posted about her daughter. It reads, "I can't say for sure that there is a link, but our beautiful 20-year-old healthy daughter, Reagan Lewis, had a jab yesterday so she could participate in her clinicals. Today, she went into cardiac arrest and has been flown to Kearney. She is on a ventilator and is fighting for her life. Please pray for her." Now that story really touched me. I felt absolutely so much sympathy for her that she had gone through that. You know, as a nursing student, there's, to me, that should have been the one place, you know, where we're taught ethical principles and evidence-based practice that nursing schools are still requiring, mandating actually, that nursing students take the jab to participate in clinicals.
Yeah, what did her mom say about that? Her mom addressed that, about what she thought about the mandates?
Well, here, so this was interesting. She posted this on September 27th. Reagan passed away. And I believe it was just the next day she passed away. And when I went to her obituary, and it's on YouTube, and her mother's statement says on October 3rd, "I believe in my heart that God sacrificed Reagan and many other healthy young people because of what has been going on in this crazy, out of control world over the last couple of years. It is sad that the only way to open eyes is to be completely shaken and horrified. I cannot believe that I lost my wonderful daughter for no reason. I cannot comprehend what God's plan is for her, but she is in his hands. I pray that something awesome comes of it." Then on an updated Facebook post, she said on October 3rd, and this is all public, so I feel comfortable sharing it. "I never expected Reagan's story to blow up the way it has. I have no idea how this happened. The sad part of it is the brutal, negative comments aimed at me and my family from people I do not know. I also want this message to be very clear. Colby Community College is a wonderful institution that has helped so many people. They and their nursing program have nothing to do with mandating vaccinations. Reagan loved her instructor and the education she was receiving. For those making such accusations, please stop. We all know where the mandates are coming from."
Yeah, that I would love to know what Cammy thinks about that, as far as the family releasing the school from any blame associated to this mandate.
I mean, it's hard to say, because she had to have gotten that information from somewhere, and she had to have felt that stress and pressure to get vaccinated from somewhere. I find it hard to believe that the school wasn't pressuring her, that her nursing program wasn't pressuring her to get vaccinated. So for instance, my school, when I was going through the last semester of nursing school, it was very well known and spoken about from faculty and staff. You know, they told us students, get vaccinated or else you don't pass. That's pretty much the bottom line. And good luck at trying to get an exemption. You know, that's kind of unheard of. I doubt students are going to get exemptions. So I know a lot of students felt pressured. You know, do we sacrifice all of the years that we've spent and not get the vaccine and get kicked out? Or do we go ahead and get the vaccine and become nurses? And so I don't think that they are completely off the hook in this case. Mm-hmm. And I find it very odd that the parents are stating that they shouldn't be held accountable. Somebody needs to be held accountable. She didn't just put that in her own head for no reason.
Yeah, it does stand out to me as well. And I think, okay, what kind of pressure are they getting from what I would call the people who are so anti-vax community that they essentially probably assaulted this family with, how dare you even claim that the vaccine was having anything to do with this death, that you would even put it as part of her story or her narrative. And because she told the truth of her experience that my daughter had just had this vaccine, and here she's suddenly not with me and having this traumatic medical experience. Somehow this mother is somehow guilty of being able to be punished for her views of what is right before her eyes and witnessing what she is witnessing as a firsthand account of a medical sudden change in her daughter. And I'm astonished that the attempt to also, maybe because of the pressure so high, to relieve the school of its responsibilities, because I mean, I can speak as a mother with a daughter in a nursing school right now as well. And that school 100% had zero mandate for her to get the vaccine or any other mandate during 2020, 2021, or 2022. And when December of 2021 came, all of a sudden, while the girls were just going through their normal exams at the end of the school year, a letter came from the clinical institution, and the clinical institution told all the students of this private school, if you don't have your vaccines by January, you will not be participating in clinicals. And our nursing school director actually pre-wrote a religious exemption for all of the girls who did not want to get a vaccine that says, even if you don't write one yourself, we are providing one as a school to say, there are religious reasons for you to be able to oppose this. And then all the girls had to write their own independent religious exemptions, and all that requested religious exemptions or medical exemptions, they were all honored. So when the school gave autonomy to the students, some got it, some did not. But that's the important thing that's missing in this story. This particular girl, Reagan, did not have choices. She had pressure. And for those who don't know how much pressure is on a girl to get into nursing school, a young man or a young woman to get into nursing school is tremendous. Not only do they have to have the GPA and have courses of rigor to get accepted, there's only a certain amount of students that are able to get into every class every year. If there's 30 only or 100 only or 300 only, and you applied to that school and you're the extra person and you just have that little average difference or GPA difference, you're not getting in. You're going to have to wait a whole nother year to apply. And then once you're in, you're committing your life for 2 years of extreme rigor and torture almost to go through nursing school for 2 years. And here you are right there on the cusp of the brass ring you can get. And somebody says, oh, now we're changing the rules. You can't actually do this unless you get the vaccine. So I completely hold the school accountable for requiring the mandate, because all schools did not. So they are responsible. And I hope the family will pursue some litigation in this.
How hard was it to get into nursing school? Did you have to wait? I know when I went through it, 10 years ago, I had to wait a year and a half before I could get in.
So I already had a bachelor's degree from ASU in business. And so when I applied, I had to actually take my sciences over because they were outdated. So I think that's what took time for me, was having to retake science classes. And when I finally applied, I luckily got into the concurrent program where I'm able to do my master's degree as well as my RN at the same time. But a lot of my classmates waited 2.5 years to get in. And so can you imagine applying to a school and not knowing when you're going to get in, and you're having to live your life and you can't really plan your life because you don't know when you're going to get in, what year it's going to be.
That's right.
Out of the blue, hey, you got into nursing school. Now you have to drop everything, put your life on hold, and go through this rigorous program. So it's not just an easy thing. It takes years, 5-6 years sometimes. If you count your prerequisite courses, your courses to get into nursing school, you have to take other classes, like other science courses along with it. So It's pretty a lot. It's a long process for sure.
It's a long process. Yeah. And I remember for me, they called me up and last minute and they said, next week you can start. And it literally was like, okay, my whole life had changed. And, you know, do you want it or do you hold off for another, you know, 6 months for a semester? I remember also too, being in nursing school and then on the first day, and they said, look around because half of you will not be here at graduation.
Same thing happened to me.
Yep.
And stuff, my graduation class was 50% of who started did not finish because the rigor is so much for some. They can't handle the rigor. They drop out. Sometimes they drop out because they have a baby. They get pregnant. They fail classes. A teacher sometimes has it in for you. And you can't get through your clinicals because something bad goes on there or medical complications can happen.
Right. So, so tell me if I'm correct in this, because it's been a minute, but you have to have 500 clinical hours and that's in 2 years, right? It's semesters. So four semesters.
Mm-hmm.
You can only miss one clinical a semester. Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly was so afraid and terrified. I think I only missed one clinical, and that was out of the 2 years, my last semester, because I was really sick. But other than that, it didn't matter what was going on in my life. I showed up for clinical because, you know, it's just everything's on the line. There's no missing clinical. You have to be on your deathbed to miss clinical.
Yeah. And something people don't realize about nursing school that is different from really any other program is that if you're in your second semester of your four and you fail that class, you have a car wreck or you have an accident and you're recovered and you think, okay, I'm going to come back in the fall and start where I left off. That's not allowed. You have to start at the very beginning again. If you fail one semester, you don't get to just wait a year and come back to that semester. They make you start at the beginning again. And people cannot transfer from one nursing school to another nursing school. If you start with one, you have to finish with that one. So a marriage in the middle of it or anything that happens to nursing students, tough luck. You've got to stick it out where you are. That's a unique thing about nursing school. There's always been unique rules on nursing schools. I mean, it used to be you couldn't even be married. You couldn't get pregnant. If you got pregnant in nursing school, you were out of nursing school. But those things thankfully have changed. But still, it's not easy to get in. It's not easy to finish.
Right.
Yeah. That Reagan was just, she was among the future nurses of America, that she was fighting for that. She already made it in. She was inside there. She was given the pressure from her school to get the vaccines. She's given the pressure from the society, from the media, from the federal government, from the president himself, that if you don't do this, you are a part of the problem in our society. So here's young, impressionable mind. She's a 20-year-old young woman. She heard the message and she complied. And the sad reality is we're talking about a medical institution, a nursing program full of medical professionals who have to have at least a master's degree in their profession to be teaching. We're talking about a school full of intelligent people who decided in a room somewhere what the rules were going to be, maybe not only for the nursing students, but at least we know for sure for the nursing students, this school decided that was going to be the rule. And they complied with what they were being told. But they had the data that was available to all of us. And you don't have to have all that education to get access to the data. And the data says that there are 42 million people in our country that are aged 15 to 24. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the population in our country. We've got 42 million in our country in that age group. And since January of 2020, 2,819 have died from COVID in this age group. So her chance of dying from COVID was only 0.00006%. That is way less than 0% chance of death for her. And there's more
statistically zero chance of dying from COVID.
And yet they mandated this on her. And there's a whole nother way to go with it. They say, okay, well, because she's in the medical profession, she's going to be taking care of vulnerable people. So because she's taking care of vulnerable people, different rules for the medical community. And a lot of people stand by that. But here's the problem. the same science that they could go out there and read today is the same science anybody can read today. And the science is implying that the vaccinated have the exact same risk of transmitting this virus as the unvaccinated person. And I'll go ahead and cite one of the studies called Community Transmission and Viral Load Kinetics of SARS-CoV-2 Delta Variant in Vaccinated and Unvaccinated Individuals in the UK, a prospective longitudinal cohort study. And in that study, the conclusion was that fully vaccinated individuals with breakthrough infections have peak viral load similar to unvaccinated cases and can efficiently transmit infection. So this young lady, just like every other nursing school in the country that mandated this vaccine upon the nursing students, under the guise that they are somehow protecting the vulnerable patients inside those hospitals, these nursing students who got it can have a breakthrough infection. In fact, all the science now shows us that this vaccine does not keep you from getting the vaccine, nor the illness, nor does it keep you from being hospitalized, nor does it keep you from dying from it.
Or transmitting it.
Most importantly for the nursing student, transmitting it. So that means that if a nursing student unvaccinated is going into the care of a patient's room with a vaccinated nursing student, and both of them have positive COVID and don't know it yet because their symptoms haven't shown and they're positive tests, let's say they can both give that patient that disease. Mm-hmm. And that means that one of them took an unnecessary risk with a medical procedure, a vaccine, for the belief that she was going to protect her patient and protect the staff of the hospital. And actually, that's a false narrative.
Well, absolutely false. Cammy, you went to school then from 2020, right? 2020 you started. So you went 2020, 2021?
I was 19 to 21.
Okay, so 19 to 21. Did they take your temperature every day when you walked into class?
No, they didn't.
Did they tell you that if you had a fever that you needed to stay home and not show up to class?
The last semester, they started cracking down. Basically, if you had any signs or symptoms, you had to call this number for the school and report yourself. And then they made you go through this whole process. You had to quarantine. You had to sign some waiver, I believe. Somebody checked on you. I even got phone calls from, I don't even know where. It was like an automated message saying, somebody reported that they were in contact with you. They tested positive for COVID. And I kept thinking, who has my number to even give out? You know, it was just strange. But yeah. It just got to the point where I felt it was way too much.
Mm-hmm. So did they have, were there any times during school that like half of this class was out because you guys were all close contacts?
No, you know, what was interesting was there was a teacher that I heard of in a different, teaching a different group. Like I was a group ahead and that teacher was vaccinated, had the boosters. That teacher actually spread it amongst the students. In that group. And here I am in my group. I didn't see very many students that were sick. And if they were, they were hiding it because they knew everything was on the line.
Yep.
We were all still going to the hospitals. We all still were showing up. And, you know, we have our masks on. So you can't really tell if somebody, their nose is running, if they're not feeling good. Mm-hmm. We still showed up and we still attended class and went to clinicals. And so I didn't see very many from my group.
That what you just said, they're covering up the face with everyone certainly is being required, whether they were vaccinated or not, they were still wearing their masks through clinicals. And something that isn't discussed, which is such a basic piece of information that should have been being taught in the nursing schools, that should have been being discussed in the hospital setting, is that the reason why we're wearing a mask is to cover our nose and mouth. Why do we need to cover our nose and mouth? Because this virus replicates in the nose and mouth. So instead of focusing on where is the virus and what can we do about it, there was well-published data that was decades old, and there was new published data that was available to these nursing schools, to these medical professionals in the institutions that were mandating this, to know that nasopharyngeal sanitation with 1% iodine, 1% hydrogen peroxide, and other products that were long known in the ENT world were effective at mitigating the viral load in the nose and mouth. So if the viral load is a problem, and that's how I'm going to risk my patient potentially getting something, it would seem that the focus should have been on mitigating the viral load in the nose and mouth of the nurses, instead of worrying about getting an injection for a potential help of getting the virus and a virus that later would break through anyways. Then once they've broken through, we still have a nose and a mouth completely capable of spreading a virus. And there were some brave and intelligent medical institutions in the country that actually mandated for their staff to practice nasopharyngeal sanitation. And they never had COVID cases. They never had transmission. And nobody's paying attention to this. And it's something that we could all be educating the nursing schools about, the hospitals about. We could even be, if we make a patient who's sedentary, be required to have a Lovenox injection, a blood thinner, mm-hmm. or we require them to have these special coverings on their legs to compress their legs to make sure blood clots don't have in it. That's just a basic protocol. How about we require our patients who are maybe only going to be there for a couple of days or maybe a week or two to have nasopharyngeal sanitation as part of their care plan every day, that we could literally reduce their chance of getting something from a nurse and a nurse getting something from them if we just practice something that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Which leads me to my question. In nursing school, you have to do evidence-based projects. Did anybody do evidence-based projects on mask wearing, quarantine, healthy with the sick, social distancing, PCR tests? Yeah, nasopharyngeal sanitation, ethical principles being violated. Were there any of that?
No, the topics that like they were given to us, so we kind of had to choose topics from what they already had, and then we'd have to find a journal or an article, get our information from that, and so that wasn't even brought up at all. That would have been nice to do, though. And now that I think about it, that would have been genius to do.
When we come back, we'll hear Cammie's story.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
So in the last semester of your nursing school, Cammie, you were just about to complete your clinicals, and they told you that you couldn't complete them unless you submitted to the mandate. What month was that? When were you supposed to graduate?
So just to kind of maybe preface or like lead up to you know, the last part of my program, I want to say in June or July, the school had put out a very vague email saying, due to COVID, we may or may not have to mandate the vaccine. Please stay tuned for updated information. The first week of school, kind of the same thing. There was a tremendous outpouring of concern from students to faculty, to the nursing director, to the nursing department staff. A lot of students were asking, you know, what's the policy going to be? Do we have to be vaccinated or not? We need to know. And they kept telling us, as soon as we know, you'll know, type of thing. And then after that first week, they ended up telling us more or less get the vaccine or getting kicked out. And I even have like recordings of the person in charge of clinicals at the time and the person in charge of registering students for classes stating, you know, we are going to back up our partners. The partners are the ones that are mandating. The hospitals are the ones that are dictating to us students have to be vaccinated. And because they're our clinical partners, we have to fall in line with our most stringent clinical partners. So it's not us mandating it, it's the hospitals. And because you're going to these hospitals, you have to follow their guidelines type of thing. We found out later on that wasn't true. And we had internal emails. We had policies from these hospitals stating in black and white, per your school, follow your school's guidelines. And so it was very much a them blaming each other. And myself and another student wrote it out. There was plenty of students that dropped out, some that really didn't want it, but we're given a timeline of, you know, within 4 weeks, you have to have all doses. You have to start the shots today type of thing. So they gave us like a week to start the process and we had to have it completed. All shots, all doses completed by a certain day, which I want to say was like a month. And so I didn't do that. Another student I know didn't do that, but plenty of them did get the shots just because they were afraid of being kicked out. And here we are in our last semester, ready to graduate in a couple of months. Do they throw all of the years that they put into it away, or do they just get the shot because they want to be nurses? And so that's kind of what happened. I didn't get it, and I decided to just fight the school over it. It came down to I needed to have the shots by November 1st. I had three clinicals that were after November 1st. So they were trying to kick me out of school over those three clinical days. There were some hospitals in Arizona that didn't require the vaccine for students. And so I asked to be transferred to those hospitals. I asked the director of the nursing department, the person in charge of clinical placement. I even reached out to the hospitals themselves and said, can you please let me come for 3 days? And I kept being met with, no, you can't. That's impossible. We've already figured out the schedule. The hospitals would say, sure, just have your school place you there, but our school wouldn't. For, you know, they just kept coming up with reasons why I couldn't do it. And so they just kept trying to kick me out over the three clinical days.
But that's crazy. So continue. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you know, that was pretty much how it went my whole fourth semester, my last semester. at the beginning, there was a student that I had a court case with. Her name is Emily Toms. She sent out an email to all of the fourth block, the last semester students, trying to rally students together and say, hey, I am for exemptions. I am for, you know, not getting the vaccine. And I know there are plenty of us out there. Let's try and come up with solutions. Let's come up with alternatives and present this to our school and see what we can do. Let's work with them. Our school absolutely refused to work with us. Every time we came up with a solution, they came up with another problem. And they, at one point, were blaming it on the Arizona State Board of Nursing, saying, well, per them, you guys can't. And we went to the Arizona State Board of Nursing, and they gave us the okay. They said, you guys actually have at your school a waiver in place that allows your school to offer you guys online clinicals through to next year. So if your school wants to, they can give you online clinicals. So what did we do? We went to our school and said, hey, we have this paper, this email. They said you can give us online clinicals. And then here comes another, well, we can't do that because of this, and we can't do that because of that. Just coming up with excuse after excuse. And so with everything that they threw at us, I just stayed in class. I kept going to class. I told them, you can't stop me from coming, and I will fight you on it. And even the guy responsible for doing clinical placements said to one of the students, good luck finding a lawyer that will fight us on this. You know, there was a girl a block behind me who was very healthy. She worked out every day. She did yoga. She did Pilates, healthy and in good shape. She got the first round of her vaccine, and she had terrible complications, cardiac issues. She went to her cardiologist. He wrote her a note and said, give this to your school. You're not to get the second dose. And she took it to our school, and they said, well, you better get the second dose or else you're getting kicked out. They couldn't care less about her issues. She couldn't even walk up the stairs without almost falling over from being out of breath, from having severe problems. Yeah. So it's like, you can't tell me that this is for my health and safety when this girl has an issue and you're risking her health and safety and basically telling her, get the second dose, we don't care, or you're getting kicked out. You know, there's just so many stories, and that was just a terrible time.
Yeah. Do you feel like they targeted you because you were speaking out?
Yes and no. Yes. Mm-hmm. Not only the staff, but, you know, some classmates for sure. Classmates that used to talk to myself and Emily no longer were as friendly, or they, you know, we would walk in and we would catch them talking and having a conversation. But once we would approach them or get closer, it was just silent. So you kind of got that feeling that they were talking about you. Yeah. Being as friendly.
How about when professors, you know, when you take those tests and you feel like they're going to have to put everybody on the curve, you feel like I've got to hyper perform because I'm now being targeted. Did that at all come up?
Oh, yes, for sure. You know, there was times where, a girl had a miscarriage in our class, and she wrapped a sweater around her waist to hide, you know, her bleeding, because she knew if she missed, there's no missing class. And it was like, we were just targeted. And they were looking for any and every excuse they could to kick us out. And so, I'm a mom and I'm a wife, and I was working and studying and trying to juggle life in general, which is hard, but put nursing school into the mix. It was just constant stress 24/7. And knowing that you have a target on your back because you're outspoken about the mandates, I put in a religious exemption. And so that kind of put a target on my back being Christian, just all of the things. And it's like, I had to study harder. I had to stay awake, study longer. I had to do tutoring. I had to do all of the things to make sure that without a doubt, I was going to pass.
Right. Without a shadow of a doubt There's nothing that they could do. I know you told me a very personal story of what happened when your husband showed up at nursing school. Do you want to address that?
Yeah, I can. I can go into a little bit. So a very dear friend of mine who's been my friend since I was 3 years old, who's pretty much a brother to me, he ended up passing away. And so it was a sim day for me. I went into sim. So there's maybe two or three students in sim. The rest of the class has to sit there, and there's a monitor so we can watch the students that are in sim, and then you wait for your turn, and then it's your turn to go. So there's maybe about 10 of us. I went with my group. I came out and I looked at my phone and I saw that I had a bunch of missed calls from my husband, and which was unlike, like, that's just never happens, right? He knows I'm in class. He never calls me that many times. So I asked my instructor, can I step outside? I need to call my husband. I think it's an emergency. And just as I asked her, I saw him appear in the hallway because we had glass walls so you could see into the hallway, and he's motioning me to come out. And so I knew right then and there something bad had to have happened. So I go out in the hallway and he tells me, you know, your brother passed away. And so I immediately just broke down and I started crying. My teacher came out into the hallway with a couple of students that were going into the sim room for their turn, and I'm crying in my husband's arms, and I look over at her and she says, are you okay? And I tell her what happened, and there was maybe 45 minutes left of class, or maybe it was an hour, but regardless, I was already done with my part. I just had to go in the classroom and sit there. So I was expecting her to say, go ahead and go. You know, you've already been here for 4 hours, go ahead and go. There's no point of you sitting here to watch the last group go. So instead she says, I'm sorry for your loss. You can come back tomorrow and repeat the whole thing if you don't want to stay today. As if I was going to feel better the next day. And so I just told her, no, that's fine. I'll go back in class. I go back to class and I sit there bawling my eyes out with my head down the entire time. I think one or two students asked me if I was fine. The other students could care less. Everybody was talking, not paying attention. And had I had not stayed, I wouldn't have gotten credit. I probably would have failed that simulation and gotten a zero for the day.
You had done the simulation and completed it.
Yes. And I was already done. She really just wanted me to sit in the room and cry for an hour. And so later that day, I had to leave town, plan the funeral, pick out clothes for him to wear, help his family. And like I'm saying, he really was like my brother. I'm very close with his family. I picked out the clothes he wore for his funeral. I spoke at his funeral. I had to make a slideshow, all of these things. And his funeral was the day before my first and only pediatric exam. So if I don't do good on that one exam for that portion of the class, I basically fell out of the whole program and I have to start all over again. And, you know, my husband had asked me, do you want to try and reschedule your tests? And I kind of looked at him thinking, are you crazy? They are trying to kick me out. They are literally trying to kick me out. So I went into that test on no sleep. I drove 6 hours back here to the Valley from his funeral. And I walked in, took my test, not knowing if I passed, if I failed, if I studied hard enough, in not the best frame of mind. But that's kind of the stress that we were under. I mean, there was no missing days, no matter what happened in your life. There was absolutely no missing days. And the teachers just could not care less. And I feel like a lot of that was because they knew I was very outspoken about the vaccine. And I think our lawsuit was already kind of in the works at that moment anyway. So they knew, you know, that we were fighting back.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you eventually prohibited from doing clinicals without that? Were they going to actually prohibit you and you had to bring any kind of lawsuit to them?
For not having the vaccine?
Yeah. Were they not going to allow you to go to clinicals going forward?
Right. By after November 1st, if I had any clinicals scheduled after that, which I did, I had three, they were going to prevent me from going.
And I think it's important to note too that that you're Navajo, and yeah. and you know there's cultural things. Can you tell us about that? About the burial and that type of thing?
Yeah, so culturally, traditionally, Navajo, you bury within 4 days of the person passing. It's a very fast process. You know, his body was down here in the valley. We had to get it transported up north to northern Arizona. So that was a process for his family, I know. But it's a very fast process. It's almost gives you no time to really grieve or think about anything until after, you know, the funeral and the ceremony is over. But yeah, it's just very traumatic for me because I was in nursing school, my kids, that was their uncle. So trying to explain to them their loss as well and deal with that, deal with the pressure from school. I didn't have a proper grieving period. I just felt like it was within a blink of my eyes and it was over, because I was in just constant stress mode, you know?
Right. Right. Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to touch on that, because in nursing school, we're taught cultural competence and mm-hmm. we are supposed to understand what the different cultures go through and, you know, what their process is and grieving and this and that. And that school showed you none of that. They knew that you had to go drive 6 hours up to the reservation to drive back the next day for a test. And to me, you know, and I want people to understand too, that this is not isolated. This isn't only just because, you know, you were suing them or, you know, or had to do with COVID. This is how stringent and hard nursing schools. I mean, hard isn't even a good word. I tell people, I would rather go back to being 20 years old, having to find a place, being, you know, leaving an abusive marriage with two children, working two jobs, then go through nursing school again.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever go through nursing school again.
Yeah, it seems like it's an unnecessary torture treatment that isn't actually necessary. The level of torment and the power that the instructors, I remember experiencing that when they knew that this particular instructor was notorious for always failing at least one student a year. It's like, okay, she has a reputation for that. And now I'm going to have to go to clinicals with her. And she had her sights on me from the very beginning. I wore my little ponytail. I was some little young chick and she did not like me at all. And I literally thought she was going to fail me. I could do nothing right in her eyes. And I'd never experienced that with any of the other clinicals. And then she suddenly got a target on a male student that she disliked more and she failed him. And we went into that knowing that, I mean, if on the first day of school, just like Jody had happened, they're telling you half of you are going to fail. I mean, if we're going to learn psychology during our nursing, that we don't do negative communication to our patients, they literally set up for negative everything by just starting our days off with that.
Right. Yeah. Right. They don't treat us with any compassion or anything. And you're talking, you went to school 35 years ago. I went 10 years ago and you just graduated last year. All in different locations, different schools, and you could talk to any nursing nurse, and they'll tell you the same story. You know, we're almost. Oh, go ahead. You want?
It shouldn't be so. Yeah, I want to hear about her bravery of pursuing this lawsuit too. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, I think it started with maybe 8 of us that wanted to go forward with a lawsuit. Emily, like I said, she put out an email to students in my block. There was lots of people wanting to help out, but too many that were afraid. So it started with 8 of us. We got a letter written. We were going to send it to Maricopa Community College's their district, their board, the board members of all of the colleges. Because Maricopa colleges, I think they cover, I want to say like 6 to 8 community colleges in the valley. Mm-hmm. And so we were sending it to the board, the people that are in charge of all campuses. So we wrote senators, we wrote representatives from Arizona. We wrote just anybody and everybody that we could think of to help kind of back us up and say, hey, this is wrong. We had a lot of support in that area. And at the end of the day, it just was Emily and I. We were the only two left because some of the other students were lucky enough to be placed at hospitals that didn't require the vaccine. And so they were no longer feeling pressure to get it. And then for those students like myself that were placed at hospitals that required the vaccine, we had to find a way out, that we had to find a way to graduate. And so we found a lawyer who was kind enough to take our case on. Emily and I were willing to pay, but she took our case and said, I'll take your case on. This is, you know, I want to help you guys. This is wrong. And if we win, then we'll have them pay my lawyer's fees. And so she helped us. We did a lot of work alongside of her. She didn't have a lot of help. So Emily and I did a lot of the brunt work with timelines and getting together emails for her, finding other students' testimonies, stuff like that, and their stories.
While you're take classes and pass classes.
Right. We even reached out to other nursing schools, like, you know, you guys talked about earlier, trying to get into other nursing schools. Can we transfer? Literally looking into all of the avenues, figuring out how we can pass. We were so close, you know, what can we do to pass? And we went to court. The judge sided with us and basically said, you can't prevent these girls from graduating. They only have a couple of days and you're going to prevent them from graduating over a couple of days. You guys, the school was given since June to figure it out, June, July. They knew that these mandates were coming and they could have worked in June or July to say, you know, what can we do for these students? Instead, they just, we're just not going to help them. We're going to make all of the students get the vaccine, whether they like it or not, even though they knew there was hospitals out there that would have accepted us.
And let's be clear, we're talking about medical nurses who are training future nurses to be women and men who are going to force their patients to take something against their will. It's the very antithesis of what nursing and patient advocacy. The example is being given to the entire group of nurses that we are going to fail you. We are going to ruin you if you do not comply with what the authority says for you to do. But when a patient is actually sick in the hospital, we say, these are your choices. This is what you can do. You don't have to do this, but this is our recommendation. Somehow that seems the exact opposite of what we should be teaching our nursing students.
Well, no wonder that was going to be my question is, you know, ethics. Our principles, our oath that we take, you know, and it's right. And it's autonomy, right? And then not autonomy just for our patients, but for ourselves. So did anybody come up with that argument? You know, I mean, when you went through the ethics portion in nursing school, how did they even address everything that's happening? Because if we would have stuck to our ethical principles, you know, and the 9 provisions of nursing ethics, that right there would have, you know, shut the case. Did you guys even address ethics in your class?
Oh, we did like the first semester of school, but I feel like all of that fell to the wayside because it was no longer fitting their narrative, right? They didn't want to bring that up. They just let everything go out the door. Mm-hmm. Whatever came down to them from the top, they were going to follow it because who knows, maybe they're too scared. Maybe they were threatened and they were just not brave enough to stand up and say, this is not right.
Yes.
It's very cowardly, honestly.
Well, and it's extremely cowardly.
Yeah. And I knew of a professor in the block behind me that was teaching block 3, that she was very against the vaccines. Was going to wait till the very last moment to get her vaccine if she needed it. But I was trying to get her to come forward and honestly stand up for us or stand with us. And she just wouldn't do it because her salary was, you know, her salary is what kept her mouth quiet. And so it's just like, there's got to be some of us, because I mean, there's people have to stand up.
Yes. Let me ask you this. When you were in front of that, did that judge care why you didn't want that vaccine?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All that matters, it sounds like, in that just situation was that human autonomy exists. A person has free will in America to not submit to a medical procedure if they do not want to do so. And those that are on the radical side of this would say, okay, fine, don't get your vaccine, but you don't get to be part of the medical profession. We're enforcing medical procedures on people. That's the message.
Yeah. So tell me, Cammie, obviously you didn't have any morally courageous faculty members. The nursing students that graduated didn't have that either. You know, the ones that succumbed to taking this, even though they didn't want it. What was different in your case? Why did you fight so hard and endure so much bullying and harassment and stick to your guns? You and Emily, what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like there's, well, maybe not in all cases, but I feel like people are either fighters or they're not. Honestly, it's almost like it's built in you, or you have it or you don't have it. And I've never been the type of person to let anybody bully me into something that I don't want to do. And it's honestly common sense to me as well. I mean, why would you force somebody to inject themselves with something that they don't want to, whether they have a religious exemption, a medical exemption, or they just plain don't want to do it? Why are you going to tell me that I can't be a nurse because of that? There are so many sicknesses, so many diseases out there. I'm not getting an injection or a shot for all of them. And a lot of them are deadly, but I'm not injecting myself in fear of catching something. You know, I'd rather, to me, it was just common sense to me, you know?
Too is that we want the world to understand that this is the kind of nurse you want beside your bedside fighting for you to have the right to choose something. You want a nurse that's going to be in the room that actually has a belief system that you as the patient have an autonomous right to choose, reject a doctor, reject a procedure, reject a medication, and reject the hospital and walk out of there. Whatever it takes, you want a nurse who's going to advocate for you, not somebody who's going to force compliance on you.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And what they've done is just, you know, let go of the dissenting critical thinkers. You know, I mean, this is all, it has to be planned, right? It's just mind blowing that we're witnessing this in 2022 in the world where we have so many people that are not courageous, are not bold, value their paycheck or their friendships over people, and it's truly sad. I thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.